February 15th, 2024. Love hindered. He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" so that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Matthew 12:9-14. Now, we are going to see the heat turn up one gauge higher. Again, with the leaders and the crowds and the confrontation of Jesus. Last time they had questions about whether Jesus' disciples should be plucking grain. And now they have questions about the man having his hand restored. We can see the tension and envy mount up. One would suspect that these leaders can't stand someone else having more recognition and esteem than them. Pride is clearly visible here. Christ enters the scene and disrupts what they have going on for themselves. People are going to start to leave their teaching and follow him. Can't have that. So they try to undermine and question him every chance they get. Now, according to the ESV Bible notes, in rabbinic teaching, the only reason for the Sabbath to be broken was for cases of life and death. This man with a withered hand was not a matter of life and death. But Jesus doesn't answer to their teaching, because they add their traditions over the authority of God. So, what's the lesson to be learned here? Well, lesson number one, a greater understanding. We hear him say, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." The point that was missed was, love isn't a thing to express only in times of extreme. And these men had emphasized their beliefs over the Word of God. Whether it's a hand or a whole body, men and women are of more value. Therefore, if we see anything to help with or to love our brother with, this shouldn't be restricted by a law. The law was meant to promote love. The Sabbath was meant for the people's good, not to restrain love and to confine a man to his room like he's in quarantine. If there's relief to offer, offer it. If there's good to give, give it. If there's a moment to do right, do it. Don't make man-made tradition get in the way. Man-made beliefs that don't line up with the Word of God. What the crowd says isn't always the right answer. The standard is the Word of God. For us today, this would be like a man serving in the nursery. Tradition says, well, women usually change diapers. So if the man sees and smells a kid with a loaded bomb, is he restricted to show that child genuine love by changing his diaper? It's a silly example, but I think it relates. Any chance to show love, any chance to do good, shouldn't be hindered by a belief or tradition, especially man-made. We should always consider the Word of God. And with this example, some traditions discourage men from engaging in caregiving or nurturing roles, viewing them as primarily the domain of women. We see this all the time. Well, he can't serve there. He's a man. And, you know, women are moms. They should be doing that. See, this can prevent men from fully participating in acts of love and care, such as changing diapers, cooking meals, or providing emotional support. It's a tradition over genuine acts of love. You see? Now, there are gender roles. Naturally, women have other bents to do certain things than men. God has made us differently. This is true. They complement each other. The woman is the helper. She was formed from the man. Don't hear me say, distinction is out the window. Rather, is there a need in what's hindering us and you and me to meet it? Corporately or individually? Is it something like, well, it's the Sabbath? Well, let's talk about a couple other examples in our day. Another example is appearance expectations. Some people can afford higher costing clothing and some cannot. Men and women have expectations and beliefs regarding appearance that can create a barrier to providing the need at hand. It might not be the Sabbath that's been broken, but the cultural views that have been broken. The belief may be that men and women who dress a certain way are of a certain category, a certain tax bracket, a certain stigma. This may include things like with modesty, hairstyles, or types of clothing. Are these things that would stop us from doing good? Do we assume and call the individual sketchy to excuse ourselves from the action needed? To say, we can't stop, honey. It's a waste of time for men like that. Besides, he should get a job. Or, hey, Jim, will you step outside? There's a man outside asking for help. He looks rough. Or I'd let him in. Is this the attitude different than the text? Taking our belief of appearance and using it to avoid doing good. The Sabbath has been broken. The appearance standard has been defiled. Can't do good. Sorry. Maybe it may hinder our reputation before others. See, Jesus stepped in and made the leader's reputation become questionable, and so they attacked. Envy filled their hearts, so they attacked. Would we be threatened too? So number one, appearance expectations. Number two, hierarchical structures and power dynamics. Certain church traditions have hierarchical... How do I put words I don't even know how to pronounce? Hierarchical structures that place a heavy emphasis on authority and obedience. You see, this can hinder authentic love when needed by promoting power imbalances and stifling open dialogue and teamwork between men and women. Men are afraid to act because the belief or tradition is, I don't have the clearance. George does. This works out in many ways. A man gets asked by another man for help with something, but the tradition says, you can't. That's not how things work here. It hinders good for the sake of tradition, for the sake of what's accepted in that circle. Number three, and lastly, the environment. A church's mood will hinder the desire to do good when needed. Men will find excuses for not doing something in order to meet the expectations or unspoken standards of the others around him. A mood is easy to recognize in a church. The way people talk and the glances that are made towards certain circumstances or toward a person who is not the norm. This is a sure way to cripple the care of men and women. It stunts the desire and even nurtures the opposite attitude. Foster cliques in the church and watch the norm become division. Foster critical environments and watch the norm become judgmental. Foster wealthy and poor environments and watch the norm be attitudes of contempt. Any environment that isn't centered on the gospel, on Christ, on the love for our brothers will make a culture of men who withhold doing good and will foster attitudes and excuses we see in this passage. We will have men and women saying, "It's the Sabbath. I cannot do that. He's dressed funny. I cannot do that. Looks a little sketchy to me. I can't do that. Nope, I'm a woman. I'm a man. I can't do that." We must beware. We must beware of this warning. The point is clear, though. If a man or woman needs our help, and it's in our means to provide it, we should provide it, no matter the day, no matter what they look like. With no walls to prevent caring for our brothers. If you will save your sheep, save your brother all the more. Don't let your law and what's normal, what the group says, prevent you from taking action. Take action because Christ took action, because Christ says love your brother. Let us think on these things today. Cling to Christ and love your brother. He is of great value. And with this, let us have a happy Thursday.